Now turn to page 34, or it's just the facing blue sheet in the white binder, and we'll do the Medicine Buddha stanza and then the mantra seven times. So we'll start with the stanza. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name, when merely heard, dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha lapis light. Tayata. Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Tayata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Tayata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Teyata Om Beganze, Beganze, Maha Beganze, Beganze, Raza Samugate Soha. Now we'll continue with the four measurables. We'll say it once in English. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. And then just below that in the binder, if you turn to page 37 in the Gold Prayer Book, we'll chant this where it says Four Measurables Chanting Version. We'll chant this in Tibetan one time. Sam Chen Tom Che Wahadang De. We'll do Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times, followed by Green Tara's mantra 7 times. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.
tare tu, tare tu, re, so, ha, ha. Om tare tu, tare tu, re, so, 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 ha.
And are the children going to classes today?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So they're free to do that.
Good morning. Good morning. I forgot to bring, I got one frog last Sunday. One girl gave me frog. It's called Triangle, what Triangle means? Peace? Yeah, called Triangle, so I forgot to bring it down. It's on my altar, next Sunday I'll bring it down. Maybe lined up all the animals here. Maybe would you mind to take maybe one moment, or maybe not one moment, maybe a few minutes to introduce yourself. Get enough sleep last night, so that's why I'm really
good. You slept enough? I slept enough.
Yeah, good.
7 hours.
Oh, yeah.
I came early this morning to open Ramallah, California.
Yeah.
I led the meditation.
How many people?
28.
Wow, very good. Just very good.
Coffee cake out there for them.
Very good. Everything
good at the house?
Yeah, so far, no problem. So far, so good.
Yeah. Think of me when you have something you need to do.
Yeah, I will.
You need a ride somewhere.
Okay.
Never hesitate to call me.
Okay, I will. Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Most of the time it's happening. Yeah.
Hmm?
Most of the time it's happening.
Yes.
Most of the time.
It's always good to enjoy.
Yeah.
We look for it. You know, what is it telling you to say? Whenever there's an opportunity, be kind. And there's always an opportunity.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Oh, maybe it seems so, but maybe it's magnified because of media and news and the way the media, you know, modern technology spreads all this. So, oh my God. And the bad stuff sells. The sad stuff sells. The good stuff doesn't get the same amount of energy and publicity.
Yeah, very true.
There's a story of, there's a poem called Paradise Lost by a very famous English poet by John Milton in the 1600s. And he wrote Paradise Regained, and the hero is Jesus. Nobody reads that. It's boring. The story of Paradise Lost, Satan is the hero. Oh, that's the good one. That's the one you want to, you know, people are interested in all the evil. But the kindness, the goodness, you know.
Your grandson is good? Your grandson? Grandson.
My grandson is very good. Oh, Jasper, I have to go home soon to watch him. Put him down for his nap. Yeah. So, the line in that line in the poem that I like is from Satan, the evil Satan. And his words, when he goes up against God and he rages against God, he's being put from hell. He says, the mind is its own place. It can make a heaven of hell or a hell of heaven. No, it's not where you are, it's how you look at it. It's how you, deal with it. Funny to hear wisdom from that source. Good to see you together.
How are you?
So good. How are you?
Good.
Polly.
Hello, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, flower.
Lotuses. You probably like the one on my back.
Oh.
Right before I went to Srivasti Abbey to take refuge under Venerable Totan, I got that tattoo.
You have now 4 eyes. 2 eyes here, 2 eyes there.
That was a joke.
Very good.
Question. Yesterday, or last week when we came here, you had banana bread. We want to make you homemade banana bread.
Oh, thank you.
Do you really like banana bread? Do you like zucchini bread? We want to make you something that you really
like. That time, last time, I thought I would give it to you, but you, I couldn't see, so then I will give.
Students from NC State. There's 4 young men who are here for. They have a world religions class, so they're just here to
investigation.
Investigate us.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt your wonderful conversation. So, so here are 2 questions. So maybe this they put it today here. I'll read maybe one, so you can help me to answer, okay? You can help me to answer the question. Yeah. Peaceful mind. How do you keep a peaceful mind? What do you think? How do you keep a peaceful mind when you are really busy, and people who promise to help let you down? Dessert for everybody. So, what do you say? More contributions? Jill says you go first. Speak. Oh, good. Andrea's giving me bread. I'll take that.
The icebreaker.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of things. One of them I think is extremely important is that is to, and it takes practice, but to learn how to let things go, not hold on to whatever it is that's irritating you or bugging you, frustrating you. Just to learn how to let it go, recognizing that for myself, my attitude is that if it's not benefiting me, right, this thought I'm having, it's not benefiting me, then I don't need it. If it's not helping me to have a peaceful mind, which is my goal, and to be happy, which is my goal, be free from suffering, which is my goal, then I don't need it. So immediately I try to eliminate it or transform it into something positive. I think maybe even an easier and more practical way, if you just can't do that, turn on some nice music, man. You know, and just, you know, just whatever you really enjoy, and just allow that, or go for a walk, or go in the yard, or do something, just to get your mind out of that place you're at.
Yeah, very good, wonderful.
I feel like when you volunteer to do something and others have said they're going to meet you and help, let's say, and it really doesn't happen, that in order to keep a peaceful mind, you just have to turn yourself to the positive thing you could do, which is figure out what you could do this morning or whenever it is, and just kind of let go of the fact that volunteer others have not showed up. They all thought they had some important reason not to, and recognizing my work in volunteer organizations over many years, things always sometimes go well and sometimes not, and volunteers come and go, so you just have to adjust your expectations and try to remain positive, I think.
Very good, wonderful.
Just to add to the distraction, I think that Andre was talking about going for a walk, going into the yard. If my brain really goes, I just start, I use Chen Rezig's mantra and just start chanting that, and it just brings me back and calms me down, and then I can move on to whatever I'm thinking about.
Oh, very good.
Or stewing about or worrying about.
I think it's also important to rather than getting frustrated, the first thing that we tend to do sometimes with that go negative is maybe turn it to the positive and have compassion for that person that you're irritated with. We don't know what's going on with them or why they didn't show up or why they didn't help, but it could be a very good reason. So rather than instantly going into the negative story, perhaps just turning it and thinking, wow, I hope everything's okay. I wish they could have come and helped, but maybe I'll check on them and make sure everything's okay. So I think it's having a little bit of compassion as quickly as possible instead of the irritation, which we tend to go to so easily.
Thanks, very good, wonderful. So I'm going to read the next question. A peaceful mind. Should I have sense? No. Oh. peaceful in mind, so peaceful in mind. How's about single point is meditations? Single point is meditations? It makes your mind calm, that's for sure. Yeah, when you start to concentrate. You know, so because the mind is not calm, because so many things happening. So many things happening within your mind, that's why your mind is not calm. If the mind is not calm, then peaceful is out of questions. There's no peaceful. So when your mind gets pleasant, when your mind gets pleasant, what do you call? Oh, when your mind gets very pleased, what do you call? Bliss? When your body gets pleasant, what do you call? Huh? When your body gets very pleased, what do you call? Yeah? When your energy gets pleasant, what do you call? When your energy gets very pleasant, what do you call?
Huh? Static.
We don't know that.
What is
static? Ecstasy.
Ecstasy.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. According to the teachings, you know, like they suggest that you think about one single object. You think about one single object. Not just hundred, just one single object. Place all your mental attention on one object and remain there, and your mind will become calm. How you can tell? We have to try. That's the only way to tell. So you have to, whether you can also use your breath, you can focus on your breath in and out, or you can just create one mental image, one single mental image. And because, you know, so mind is considered like elephant, so powerful, it's on the move, it's not still, it's always moving. So we need to catch the elephant. If you cannot catch the elephant, that elephant will be it's not going to be still, it's going to be moved all the time. In order to catch that elephant, what do you need? You need rope. So there's the mindfulness, it's the rope. Mindfulness is the rope. So with that rope, then you catch that elephant. Not just catch, then you have to tie that elephant into something. So there's a single object. An object that's like, more like hitching post. First you catch the elephant, then you need to be mindful. If you are not mindful, then you don't have rope to catch that elephant. If you become mindful, then you have rope. So then there's possibility you could, if you have desire to catch the elephant, you could catch because you have means to catch. When you catch the elephant, then you need to tie. Then you need, like, how is it, hitching post? So that's like object, single object. So then what else you need? You need like separate set of awareness that analyze whether the elephant is like sitting still or still moving, you know. So then eventually, not right away, eventually you will gain the power to control that elephant. Right now, elephant is very much controlling your life. That's why, you know, unfortunately, we don't enjoy peace of mind. Because we are very much influenced by our elephant. We don't control our elephant. Our elephant controls you. us. So, then unfortunately, that elephant is not always, you know, kind of like, does not always behave very well. Is that true? The elephant does not behave all the time very nicely. So when that elephant does not behave well, so the mind does not become pleasant. So there's no peace. The body doesn't become pleasant, there's no health. If the body doesn't become very pleasant, there's no pleasure. There's no pleasures. Same, there's no pleasant, if the mind is not pleasant, there's no peace. So, for the sake of knowledge, it all boils down on how well you catch the elephant and how well you tie that elephant onto the object. That's what has been said in the book. Okay, so I study, so Sunday Chishi. So the concentrations will make your mind calm. Then peace will take place. Wisdom liberates. Wisdom, not just desire, wisdom liberates. So then the second part. Yeah, when you're really busy, yeah, of course, you know, like, you can be busy at the same time, you can be mindful. You can be mindful, you can still watch your mind. You can be busy doing things, but still, you know, like, you can be mindful. Consciously, you can be mindful, you know. If we can do something unconsciously, as it, unconsciously, you know, we do move our hands without thinking. Yeah, you can move that with consciously. Anything you do unconsciously, you can do that consciously. If you could move your hand unconsciously, of course you can move your hand consciously. Same to the mind. So now the last part, the second part of the question, you know, when you are really busy, so then people who promise to help you let you down. Yeah, not easy. You know, it's hard. It's hard to take. How to take? It's hard to take. We need to look at from the bigger pictures. You know, everything that happens, it happened, it's happening now, it's going to happen in the future. We need to look at from the bigger pictures. You can't just focus what just happened. So then, probably 10%, then 90% you project it. You project, your mind projects, so then it's not good. Always need to look at for the bigger pictures, like holistic view. Holistic view. If somebody's being unfair, unreasonable. What else you say? Unfair, unreasonable.
Unreliable.
Difficult. All of them. What is our reaction? What is our reactions? So that's problem. Sorry to say, no, that's the truth. That's the problem. Somebody's being unhappy, unhappy, very miserable. What's our reaction? Our reaction is not positive. So then, you know, that's why it's hard. It's hard. How is about if somebody become unfair, unreasonable, difficult. How is about if you see that person as a something like precious jewel? Precious jewel? Is that possible? If you see that person is something very wonderful, if you feel like, oh, you found a piece of jewel, or maybe you found $1 million. $1 million? Can we do that? That's the question. Can you pray for your enemy? Is that possible? Not right at the beginning, because that takes time. It requires a lot of thinking. It requires a lot of thought process. It won't happen right away. It requires so many thinking. If you are truly looking for peace of mind, if you are desire for peace of mind, then based on that, then we have to calculate how we approach. Based on that. Now, if you think whatever, I say whatever. No. What is the best approach? What is the best approach? Not as a Buddhist, as a Christian, as a believer, as a human. As a human being, what is the best approach? What's the best approach? Something to think about, okay? So, what's the best approach? If somebody promises you to help and doesn't help, what's the best way to approach that person? What's the best? Without losing your peace of mind, what's the best approach? Not as a Buddhist, you don't have to become Buddhist. You don't have to become Christian. As a human being, what's the best approach? What's the best approach? To be kind to that person, that's hard. That's very hard thing to do. If you can't do that, what will you get? First of all, you don't lose your peace of mind. That's the good news. What you gain. So based on that, then we have to calculate how to approach. Anybody, doesn't matter, Buddhist, not Buddhist, Christian, not Christian, believer, not believer, anybody, whoever holds negative mind, there's no peace of mind. You can wear rope like me. The rope is not going to protect you from negative mind. It requires thinking. What's the best approach? Best approach. So somebody promises you to help, then doesn't help, let you down. What do you do? If you scream, probably that person is not going to be happy. If you throw something, that person is not going to be happy. So what you should do as a human? If your peace of mind is more priorities, then based on that, what you should do? Or maybe avoid the object. Maybe you can go somewhere else. You don't have to stick around with that person. You can go somewhere else. So that's the question, okay? That's the question. It's not easy. There's no easy answer. Can you pray for your enemy? Not right away. Eventually, can you pray for your enemy? Can you wish something positive for the person that you don't like? Enemy, friend, there's no definite friend, there's no definite enemy. You know, today's best friend. Almost you feel like you can give your heart to that person. With a few unguarded words, tomorrow become worse enemy. What is that? That's change. There's no definite, that's impermanent. Tutari yuju tobuyans. Siglenye chila namdoki. Dhotan means you super project. And if you got it word, then you superimpose. Tomorrow become worse enemy. What is that? That's impermanent. According to Buddhism, that happened many times before this. Many times it may happen. It's not just happening the first time. It happened many times. That's why I'm saying every situation need to look at from the broader pictures. Broader pictures. Need to best things not to react right away. Take your time. Sit back. Think from the holistic point of view. So there's possibility you can protect your peace of mind. Without losing your peace of mind, you can approach without losing your peace of mind. So that's why there's one thing to do. But not easy. As I said, it requires a lot of thinking. Okay. Everybody, every single person in this room looking for happiness. Nobody's looking for suffering. Tibetan, we are not looking for suffering. We are also looking for happiness, like exactly the way you're looking for happiness. Nobody in this room looking for problems. Everybody is trying all their best, trying to avoid even the slightest problems. In that field, you and me, equal. There's no differences. It's equal. So that is very, very, that realization is very, very critical. Critical to understand we are all in the same boat, same boat. That realization is very much needed in order to develop universal compassion, universal peace. That realization is very much needed. It's not about being Buddhist or not being Buddhist or being Christian, not being Christian. It's about as a human happiness. So that realization is very much needed. Okay. Otherwise, you know, like everybody talks about peace of mind. Everybody talks about peace of mind. So then how come we don't experience peace of mind? Yeah, peace of mind is the result. Peace of mind is the result of something. Or result, according to Mother Teresa, the peace of mind is the result of service. Service that you provide. That's the peace of mind is the result of service that you provide. So something like that. Something like that. Did I say correctly? Yeah. Maybe I screw up. I mean, the mother's statement, maybe I screw up. Didn't she say the fruit of service is love? Then the fruit of love is peace. Probably that's the right order, I think. That's the right order, yeah. You know, life, generally speaking, like nobody's life is perfect. Everybody has problems. Everybody's life is up and down. If you expect, I need to be happy all the time, sorry, but that's not going to happen. Tell you the truth, that's not going to happen. You know, somebody decide, even like summertime right now, what season is this? Spring. Everything is growing. Even the weather kind of tried to cheer us up. When we become very, very cheerful, then they send some pollens to balance. To balance. You know, so we need, if the mind is too high, probably there's risk. If it's too down, there's risk. Balance. Even the weather is trying to balance, you know. Too much enjoying, then pollen, flip it. So then like that. Rajing Ebe Simjana, person who is very, very like negative, miserable. What do you do when you see those person? What do you do? What we do? Yeah, we criticize them, we judge them. Then how you are going to get peace of mind? How? Impossible. Rajin, just ask yourself questions. Rajin, whenever you see somebody being miserable, unhappy, what do we do? If you feel like that you found piece of diamond, then you get immense benefit, but that's not what we do, unfortunately. That's the reason. Sorry, whoever asked these questions, if you expect, if you expect the all visualize or like simple answer, I don't have simple answer. So to say, you know, so I need to say the truth. Well, not say something, oh, that, you know, makes you happy temporarily down the road is not good. It's not good. So, you know, like, this is, I think, this is like very powerful computers. Our life is like more like very powerful computers. So we collect so many data, the positive data, negative data, through our senses. So we use only two keys, copy and paste. We copy and we paste. No. Even though there are many keys, we don't use all of them. We just copy and paste. We don't use delete key. Mm-hmm. If somebody sends you something on your phone you don't like, you delete them. Here, we don't delete, we just keep them, store, so paste. We don't refresh. So then we recycle all this, you know, reload all the information you collected from this 5 seconds, you reload again, 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 again. That's why you're having so many thoughts, thought after thought, thought after thought, not so many thoughts. So, yeah, I've been, last week I've been thinking about that, so, yeah, so it's time to use delete key. Or maybe refresh or reset. Reset, that will take a long time. Reset will take a long time, but refresh. Yeah, that's what we do. If you don't like something, you delete. How about if you don't like something here, why you don't delete? Yeah. Well, you know, so then that, you know, like, then, like, talk about forgiveness. Oh. Sake of your own happiness. Sake of your own happiness. If you really, truly desire for peace of mind, you have responsibility how to produce peace of mind. Peace of mind does not come just by saying peace of mind, peace of mind, peace of mind. That's hard, you know, that's hard. So, maybe a second question, maybe I read next Sunday, okay? So I thought, you know, 4 o'clock this morning I've been reading this, I wrote this text. I thought, this is interesting, so I just want to share it with you. This is kind of meditations. So I just want to share with you. Samcha means object that you think about. Okay, samcha means object that you think about, or idea you think about, or maybe somebody says something that you're still thinking about that. It's called object of thought. Samcha. Samamicha means there is samamicha means don't, then I probably, you correct my English, okay, I probably translate it in my broken English. Don't think about the thing that you are thinking about. Make sense? Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. Make sense? Can we meditate on that? Can you meditate on that? Are you thinking something now? Don't think about that. Well, that's the first one. Kind of tricky, you know. Samcha, somebody be judging. Samcha, something you are thinking about now. Don't think about something that you are thinking about. That's the first line. Well, you can just repeat the word, you know. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. You can repeat that word if that helps. So now then it gets more trickier. It gets more trickier. Samipaya. Okay, let me translate this into my broken English, okay? Don't think about the object that you are thinking about. Does that make sense? Is this right English or no? Okay. Don't think about the things that you are thinking about. So now, don't think about that you are not thinking about things that you are thinking about. That's what I'm saying, it's getting trickier. Don't think about the thing. Don't think about the thing. I said, don't think about the thing that you are not thinking about. I said something like, first one is, don't think about the thing you are thinking about. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. So don't think about the thing you are thinking about. Maybe that will become good meditation. So I just wondering. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. Misambaya sambhijan means don't think that you are not thinking about the thing that you are thinking about. Don't think. Help me. How you say? Don't think about.
Don't think
that you are not thinking about the thing that you are thinking about. It's very long. I'm not sure how to say the best way to say it. Doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's subject of ambition. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. That's the first one. You don't need to sit like this. You can just lay down, or you can just walk around, or you can just take a cup of tea. And in your mind, something's happening in your mind. Don't think about the thing you are thinking about. If something is bothering you, that means you don't think about that. But easier said than done. Don't think about the thing that you are thinking about. That's first one, samjhasambhijan. Don't think that you are not thinking about the thing that you are thinking about. Something like that. Okay? So now that get a little trickier. The third lines get more trickier. If you don't think about both of them, if you don't think about both of them, how you say it now? Say it please in English. That there's two of them. First line, don't think about the thing you are thinking about. That's the first one. Second one is, don't think that you are not thinking about the thing. Two of them. Now you put them both together. You use the word don't think. If you can do that, don't think about either one of them, then you saw ultimate truth. Then you saw the ultimate truth. That's bingo, yeah. That is bingo, yeah. Then you are free. You went beyond conventional realities. You see things, people say things, you say things, you know. That's all happening within the conventional realities. We never experience the ultimate realities. When you start to think like that, that's the three lines, then you went beyond conventional realities. Make sense? Oh, got so excited, 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock in this morning. Could not sleep, so that... I think you realize true nature of self. When you say I, true nature of I or self, either you realize that true nature of self, when you're able to do that. The experience that you gain is inexpressible. Ma cannot talk, cannot say, cannot explain the way you experience cannot explain much. So if you, if I ask you, do you see space? Space? What's your answer? You don't see space? Oh, that's interesting. Really? You don't see space? Space. Do you see space? This is a hand. This is not space. No? Do you see? Huh? If you don't see how you walk, if you don't see space, then you may need 4 or 5 nose, because you will break them one by one. Space is like form or shape. Space does not have form or shape. Space does not have form. Doesn't have shape. So then you don't see space. When you lay down the park, what do you see? Is this sky? What is the definition of sky? What is the definition of sky? Huh? Is this sky? What is the definition of sky? No? Are you teasing me, or you are giving me honest answers? What do you think? Do you see space?
Sky is upper atmosphere.
Huh?
Sky is upper atmosphere.
Do pilots see spy? No, spies, sorry. Do do pilots see space? How they fly the airplane? Huh? Oh, that's very risky to fly the airplane if they don't see space. How they fly? No. When you lay down the park in the blue sky, you see, what do you see? You say you see sky, or you see space? Well, you do say you see sky, but you don't say you see space. Oh, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. I don't know. Well, I'm asking you. So that's why if you say I do see sky, I don't see space, then I want to know what is the definition of sky. What's the definition of sky? Because the way we study philosophy, everything has definitions. Even the sky has definitions.
I could Google it.
Yeah, probably good luck with that. The definition of sky. Okay, so now, so my point, why I'm asking this question now, not because I want to explore your head. So why I'm asking this question is, so maybe another way to ask questions to you, like, is there anything that you see that you cannot explain? What? Is there anything that you see you cannot explain in the world?
Love,
you cannot explain love? You cannot explain love? No, I'm asking now, maybe another way to ask the questions. Is there anything that you see you cannot explain? What?
I saw a picture the other day. There were a whole bunch of ducks, and one of them was just laying on its back like this, but it wasn't dead or anything. It just liked it. I don't know why it liked it. I can't explain why that duck. All the other ducks are on their feet. This one duck, he was like, you know what? I think I'll just lay on my back for a while. And why? I don't know. I know it's a duck. I don't know why. I can't explain why that duck laid on its back. Like, there are a lot of things I don't know. Can't ask.
Can we explain space? Can we explain space? Huh? Oh, celestial being? What is celestial?
The sky.
My Tibetan word for sky is called Namka. 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 So anyway, so maybe I just want to share this meditation. Sorry, all this raise all kind of questions. So
Geshe-la, in a way, space is the absence of form. So in that way, you can kind of see space by, like, I can see that there's space between you and me because I see that there's an absence of form between you and me. Okay. But I don't actually see a thing that is space, but I see an absence of form between you and me.
So let me tell you the definition of sky according to Buddhist philosophy. Tok means something that doesn't hear. When you go your hand like this, what you call, can't go beyond, stuck. Something that's stuck, there's no sky. Something that's stuck, there's no sky. Tok. Reg means something you can touch, there's no sky. So then, that is the definition of sky. Tore, can you find? Tore comes in mega, I'm not sure how to say mega, means like, it's like, for example, like, it's like absence of touch,
intangible,
and like does not. Yeah, maybe so you'll find the definition of sky, Namka, Tore Kapji Nega. So anyway, the reason I'm bringing this question up, you know, so if you think, okay, maybe you can meditate on that, you know, don't think about the thing that you are thinking about. So then there's a way to go beyond conventional reality. Because so much anxiety, fear, stress, everything is built on around conventional realities, you know. Basically, it's like, how you say, so much, how you say, so much walls been built around by one's own thought. One's own thought. You know, so, the very thought that builds up everything is that you can see. You cannot see. It does not have color, it doesn't have shape, you cannot see. But that thought builds up all these new things. Am I making any sense? So maybe, you know, this just want to share that, you know, so got excited, very excited. So so then please you think about that. I will also think about that, you know, then maybe will that lead to beyond conventional realities? Conventional reality. First one is like, don't think about object that you are thinking about. Therefore, power take long time. What do you think? Don't think about the thing that you are thinking about. Can you do that now? Yeah. Are you thinking something? Don't think about that. Can you do that? Can we do that?
Yeah. Can I ask a question? So if you say, like, if I'm thinking about this chair, and you say, don't think about the thing you're thinking about, then I just say, okay, I'll think about that flower instead. I'm not thinking about the thing I was thinking about, and I'm not thinking about not thinking about it. I'm just thinking about that flower now. I've just refocused to something else. But that doesn't really take me beyond anything. Now I'm just thinking about a flower.
There'll be temporary benefit, don't you think?
Yeah, but is that what you're talking about doing? Because I can just refocus my attention to another object or another thought or another idea.
Yeah.
But does that take me anywhere special. It just takes me to another object.
How to shift the focus?
Yeah, I mean it can take me like out of my anger or something, which is good. But I mean, does it take? It doesn't.
So then how
take
about
me to how things really exist,
right,
to,
I understand. Yeah, I
to
understand your
emptiness.
Question.
It doesn't really take me to emptiness.
Right. I understand your question very well. So, but immediately, right after that, immediately, there's no break. Immediately after that, don't think that you are not thinking about the thing that you are thinking about. Immediately, right after that. Chain of thought. No, first, don't think about chair. Then, right, immediately after that, Don't think that you are not thinking about the chair.
I'm thinking about the flower. So I'm not thinking about the chair or not thinking about the chair. I'm just thinking about the flower.
If you are thinking that you are not thinking about the chair, that's become problems.
I'm not.
No?
I think I'm not understanding. That's why, and that's why I'm asking the question.
That's why I asked you to help me in English.
I feel like I'm just refocusing to another thing. And that does get me to not think about the chair, and it does get me to think about not thinking about the chair, but it just makes me think about the flower. Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Is that it?
That's the practice. So eventually, your mind moves to another object, and so then you stop thinking about that one, and eventually you begin to realize that all of this is empty.
Yeah, so I think that's the practice, right? So, yeah.
Well, she has good point. She has very good point. So now I'm asking you to help my English, how to say that well. You know. If I say it in Tibetan, nobody understands.
We get there.
So I'm just talking about Mishesh. In Tibetan, it makes perfectly sense.
I think it's making perfect sense in English, except that I'm using concepts.
Right. Well,
English is fine.
Yeah, because this whole idea about go beyond confusion. Go beyond confusion. Because
so I think the question you mentioned ultimate reality, right? You mentioned ultimate reality. So once I've immediately stopped thinking about that one thing and redirected or reframed my thought to something else and then get to the point where I'm not thinking about either one, you said that's ultimate reality.
Yeah.
So the question is, I think, how do you get to that point? Because that's, really, I can redirect from the chair to the flower, but how is it where I'm not even having to do either one, right? Where I get to that ultimate reality.
How you get there, maybe you can, if you can eat like hot chocolate chip cookie from the Whole Foods, then you get this is for everybody, everybody. Yeah.
So, if I'm understanding what you're saying, and then piggybacking that on some of the
about nothing.
Yeah, but for day-to-day life, it's impossible for me to think about nothing, sit with my mind completely blank. But from what I've found for myself is that there are times when I might be able to blissfully let my mind focus from one thing and then roll to the next thing, and it's just like I've heard people talk about the Ganges River and stuff just floating down, and like, those are my thoughts that come and they go, and I'm not like grabbing onto any one of them. But in the instructive times of my life, when I'm angry or upset about something or wound around the axle about something at work, I can, if I'm able to shift my focus and not think about how good I am at shifting my focus, then I'm completely destroyed. And so the exercise is exactly what you're saying. Like, yeah, it sounds terribly simple, and there are peaceful times that I know I'm able to be like flower, chair, crying child, whatever. And then there's other times when it's just like put on your shoes, we got to get out the door, and I'm stuck. Like, I could not do anything in the world except for, I get it, put on your shoes, we got to go out, like, right now. And my mind shifting to anything else at that point is hopeless. And then even if I'm like, oh, I should take a deep breath, I'm thinking about, I should take a deep breath because I don't want to think about that thing, and I am stuck. So, yeah, it is almost obviously simple, I feel like, the lesson, but it's applying that as consistently as possible is the difficulty. That's my take.
When I heard you say that, I was really struggling. But then it reminded me of like a Japanese Zen koan, the sound of one hand clapping and just thinking about that. And it's like your mind just goes, I mean, so it takes you to that place of emptiness. And I don't think it's so much, okay, let me think about something different. And I don't think it's about actually doing something. I think it's thinking about trying to go from that first instruction to the second instruction. And as you're, you know, trying to wrap your mind around, don't think about what you're not thinking about, or if I got that right,
yeah,
then, you know, it takes you completely out of that. But the whole point is focusing on the words and not like, okay, I'm going to think about a flower or something like that. That's how I interpret it. I don't know if that's right.
Yeah, maybe.
So what's beneath the thoughts? There's a part of you that is aware that you're having a thought, and if you can put your attention there, you get a whole different experience. And it's hard to keep your attention there, but at least if you do that, if you use that as a practice, you can more and more get to the point where your mind's not going to all these thoughts.
Mm. Yeah.
So I was thinking about this from birth. When a child is born, they do not learn anything right out of the womb. They aren't labeling a flower. They aren't labeling a chair. They're looking. Their mind is new, and I think taking the newness of, just like as an adult when you see something you don't quite understand because you haven't seen it before, you haven't labeled it, you have no experience of it, but you just take it in because you try to understand it. I think that's kind of, for me, that's how I feel, because it's like a newborn child. They're just looking around, and they're I'm imagining that a newborn child would experience, you know, the peaceful, because they don't know. It's not based on anything they've experienced before, because they're new, right? So that's just my thought.
Yeah, they just copy, they don't paste.
So I was wondering, you know, when you ask us what our definition of space was and sky was, when we do meditations on the mind, we think of the space-like quality of mind. That's the word that we would use.
Mm.
So when we use the word sky, we do think of something that you can see, like the atmosphere, like it's, you can see it. Mm. But when we think of the word space, we think, I looked up the definition because that's easier, the expanse, the area, the expanse, which is free, available, unoccupied. It's the space in which objects exist. So is that similar to what sky means? Okay, so we call that space.
Mm.
So I was wondering, this exercise of not thinking about the object and so on, you had asked us for the definition of space. Was there a connection between this? It reminds me of when we're meditating on the nature of mind.
Mm.
Is that the connection, or am I making that up?
No, I don't think you're making it up. I don't think you're making it up. I don't think you're making it up.
Right. So this is it leading the practice of not thinking about the object and finding that, identifying with more of the nature of mind.
Mm. Yeah, that's also another way to say I find the nature of mind, or maybe true nature of self.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all ultimate realities.
Mm-hmm.
So like the question is how to go beyond all this conventional reality. We take it so seriously, we think something absolute, inherent. It's not absolute, it's not inherent. Everything changed.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the realizations when we desperately need it. You know, we think, oh, it should be permanent. Or changing, that's not good, should not change. Yeah, of course it will change. Everything changes.
And if I'm thinking about the chair, and then I think about the flower, and then I think about the cushion, that's just the same, that's just changing. I'm still thinking about something.
Yeah, what do you do if you become obsessive with some thought? What do you do? Then, like, didn't they suggest to count the one sheep, two sheep, three sheep?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Probably then, cat has something to say.
So we don't want to just change the thing we're thinking about, but more kind of not grasp to that thing and kind of let ourselves not think about that.
Mm.
But not just by quickly replacing it with something new.
Yeah, that's like this is the method to go beyond conventional realities.
Mm-hmm.
Conventional reality includes the self.
Yes.
How you define self? How you define self? Do you think that you are your body? Do you think that you are your body?
Do I?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
Are we starting all over?
You are your body?
We did this on Wednesday night.
Do you think that you are your mind?
Yeah.
Are you your mind? Are you your mind?
I mean, I...
Are you your body?
I'm not just my body, no.
No mind? You are not your mind? Then, like, when you say, oh, I'm so happy, not happy, I got fight with my friend is not treating me very well, what do you mean, like your body or your mind?
When I say I like that, I think it is because I am really feeling about my body and this, yes. When I say I, because I am where I am at.
So that is confusion. Is that confusion?
Yeah, it is confusion. It feels...
So now the root of all the problem is confusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Root of all the problems is not your friend. It's the confusion.
Yeah.
Confusion about what? Your understanding of nature of self. Is that confusion? Maybe need to do something.
Yeah.
Or maybe time to do something. Otherwise, that's the one causing all kinds of problems. According to Buddhist philosophy, you become attached to Tambu Ngashi Dala Shinji. First, you become attached to I.
Mm-hmm.
Probably they have no clue. So then from there, my religion, my friend, my people.
Mm-hmm.
So then confusion after confusions. So that's why you remember a long time ago, I said the Sunday, you are wearing a hat. The hat is so tight, makes you uncomfortable. You are kind of experiencing discomfort. But you keep changing your shoes. It doesn't help. Because you need to change your hat. That's the one causing you pain. But you keep changing your shoes, that's not going to help. Are we doing that or no? So that's the question, are we doing that or not? Each time when you become unhappy, are we just, we don't realize something that's causing pain, so we keep changing something else. They're just...
Geshe-la, in Sky Burrell in Tibetan means celestial burial, right?
Sky burial?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably.
So what does, what's a better definition of celestial? Would it be just sky or part or space also?
Sky burial, chatur. Yeah, there's a form of like guys, when people die in Tibet, so that's what we do. So we offer a body to the vultures.
So does it celestial?
No, celestial. There's sky in Tibet is called Namka. I think doesn't call celestial. Maybe there's some
celestial. I guess is the English word.
Mm-hmm. It's called Namka. It's in space in Tibetan. So doesn't make sense. Probably doesn't make sense. It's Tibetan word Namka.
So to your question about what is space? I mean, when you're buried in or have a sky burial.
Yes, yeah, sky burial. That doesn't.
That's not space.
That's not really sky. It's just called sky burials because it's happening high up the mountains. That's what they call sky burial. It's just the word they use. It doesn't carry the meaning of sky. It's just word because it's so high up on the mountains. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called sky burial.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not yeah, so now time is running out. Only 1 minute left. So maybe... the root of all the problems, that's the confusions. It's confusions, okay? So confusions. So the how to go beyond that confusions, these are the method. So you think about it, will that lead us out of confusions, or maybe beyond conventional reality, everything that you see, you hear, you know? So then what happened at the end? Right now, everything is so serious. She mentioned, you know, baby, they just see, you know, they just laugh, they see. But we don't laugh. We hardly laugh. And you see, baby is just, you know, like they're just seeing the way things are. So we don't see the things they are. We, top of that, we project. Oh, I like this, I don't like that, I like this, you know, then we project. And we are so much caught up with the projections and didn't realize that 90% of this is like projected by your mind. Maybe 10% there, but 90% is projected by your mind. So as I mentioned before, like room is kind of dark, not much light. All of a sudden you see some shadow. Then you kind of like projected that shadow is like cockroach. Then it becomes called cockroach. Then you start to build antenna, what called antenna, everything. So there's all kinds of emotions rise. What you need to do? Either you need to have nice, clear vision, how is the vision? Or you need better eyesight. If you don't have good eyesight, still it's not going to help. You need good eyesight and you need light. If you want to get out of this emotion, what do you need to do? You need to find out that object, whether there's cockroach or not. The only way to find is not just sit down and pray. That's not going to help. You need wisdom to go close and find out. Once you find out, it's like shadow of your glass. That's become joke, right? Before it's very serious now, all disappear. Is there same thing happening with the self? There's something we projected, or maybe we projected, or I'm not good, I'm not beauty, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know. Are we projecting that, or maybe two natures that, you know, so much covered by all these layers of thoughts and like perceptions, so then everything becomes so serious. So then when you success in these meditations, when you come out of that meditations, then your whole perceptions, including perception of self, everything changed. Yeah, so then you become very easygoing person. Please don't confuse that I'm not near to that. I'm even not close. I'm far away from this practice. I'm just saying it. Don't think, oh, he comes, no, I have no experience at all. I still think the shadow is cockroach. I still think the shadow is cockroach. So I also need to find out whether the shadow is cockroach or not. So we're same boat. But this track has been mentioned, so maybe something that you like to practice, and then please do. You know, if something that you find is kind of like interesting, so then you can practice, so then see whether that will lead us beyond conventional reality. So much. All whole your universe is the result of your perception, right? Do you agree? It's your perceptions. Nothing more, nothing less. It's if somebody touch you, you feel something? Is this your feeling? It's not somebody's feeling. Is this but there's so many things that said in the textbooks. I don't know how to say it in English, but you know, it's quite interesting when you read in Tibetan, it's very interesting. So maybe eventually, slowly, and with the help from somebody from the center, I will try to translate, you know, little by little. Okay. Sometimes it does sound like crazy, but it's not crazy. It is something very profound, something very profound. So with that, so then I'll stop here. So maybe somebody can write a particular translate, maybe put it there. That's what I just said. Then after that, you will see ultimate truth. You will see true nature of mind, you will see true nature of self, and you see true truth, not just conventional truth, also you see ultimate truth. If you practice on that, then you see that. So then, please help me to make it more, understandable in English, how you praise, okay. Well, but I'm not going to meditate in English language, I'm going to meditate on Tibetan language. But, you know, so to help maybe create like the best as possible, okay. Sorry, so 5 minutes extra, so thank you, and have a nice weekend.
Okay, so if you turn to page 191 in the gold prayer book or to the green sheet in the white binder, we're going to say the praises to the 21 Taras. And our motivation for this includes removing obstacles to the Light of the Path retreat, which Kadampa Center sponsors. And so removing obstacles to both the preparation and the delivery of that retreat. So we'll start with the invocation. From your sublime abode of the Patala, O Tara, born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow to your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all of our destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. O my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator, homage Taurus with heroic, guys like lightning instantaneous, sprung from opening statements of the Lord of Three Worlds, tear-born lotus, homage you whose face combines 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light rays resplendent as a thousand star collection. Homage, golden, blue, unloaded, water-born and hand-adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage, crown of Tathagatas, action struggle without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage, filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, trampling with your feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage, worshipped by the All-Lord, Chakra, Agni, Brahma, Mar, honored by the hosts of spirits, course praises, Gandharvas, Yakshas. Homage with your Tre-Impei sound, destroying foes, magic diagrams, her feet pressing left out right in, blazing in a raging fire blaze. Homage to her very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is fallen amis, homage at the heart, her fingers, adorn her with three jo mudra, light ray masses all excited, all directions wheels adorn her, homage she so joyous, radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, mirthful laughing with Uttare, subjugating Mara's devas, homage she able to summon all earth guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her whom sign, saving from every misfortune. Homage crown adorned with crescents, moon all ornaments most shining, Amitabha in her hair knot, sending out much light eternal. Homage she mid wreath of blaze like, eon ending fire abiding, right stretch of fence joy surrounds you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter whom the seven levels she does conquer. Homage, happy, virtuous, peaceful, she whose field is peace, nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage, she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, frees with human knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage, Ture with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vinya. Homage holding in her hand the hair mark moon of Deva lake form with twice spoken Tara Ampe, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom gods and their kings and the Kinnaras do honor, armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels bad dreams and conflicts. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice Tara and Tutare, she dispels severe contagion. Homage full of liberating, powered by the set of three natures, destroy souls of spirit yakshas, and raise corpses supreme to ray. These praises with through mantras and prostrations, thus are 21. And then for the prayer of the benefits, turn back to page 190. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering it at dawn, upon waking, and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. This prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times. It will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacified. And then we'll go to Shanti Davis' dedication, which is on page 246. And it's on the back of the opening prayers page in the booklet. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merit. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvest. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And then turn back one page and we'll do the long life prayers. We'll start with the one for His Holiness Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig, Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And then on the next page for Khenpo Rinpoche, the one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And then the one for Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as a bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjinas' victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then we'll do seven of Green Tara's mantras for Geshe Gelug and Geshe Tsongpo's long, happy, healthy lives. Om Tare Tu, Tare Tu, Re So Ha. 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 Om Tare Tu, Tare Tu, Re So Ha.
Hi, just a short announcement for, just, can you hear me now? Okay, just, can you hear me now? Just a short announcement for local retreats and practice days. We have a Tara mini retreat coming up on April 27th and a Lamrim practice day on April 13th. And in case you did not know, you can sponsor a retreat whether you go or not. And the question might be in some of your mind, why do you want to sponsor a retreat? It's whether you attend retreat or not, supporting teachings and practice benefit, not just the center, but those who attend, but it also greatly benefits the donor because it creates the causes to meet the teachings again in your future lives and deepens the connection with the teacher and the retreat deity. We do offer weekend retreats, one-day retreats, and I'm telling you, it's a great way to get away from what we call chatter mind that we just discussed, the confusion. Maybe it's a great venue for you to get away from all that and actually go and just realize that you are practicing certain things that you want to learn and also get you deepened into your own daily practice with the deities that you particularly choose to practice with. So anyways, if you have any questions, please reach out to Donna, our spiritual coordinator here, and also center manager Jill Murray, okay? So thank you. That was the announcement.
I'm Elise from Outreach, and today is a really happening day. There are three wonderful opportunities for us all to get to know people that we normally would not have an opportunity to meet. And it's a great opportunity to put into practice what our teachers are always telling us, that we are all the same, and an opportunity to really experience that. For the first thing is for children only, and their parents, of course, and it's a Habitat for Humanity BAFL project. And if you're interested in that, if you have kids, please see Christy Batts. She's handling that. The next thing is this afternoon at 3:30, the Satya Sai Center. They're a wonderful faith stream that really believes in service and giving. They're having an informational session this afternoon at 3:30 at the Hindu Society in North Carolina in Morrisville. You can find information on the web, and there's a flyer by the back door. And the third wonderful thing, at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 7, there's an interfaith prayer service being held at the Turkish Cultural Divan Center, and the prayer service will be followed by a meal, which is wonderful food, but also a wonderful opportunity to really talk to others and get to know people from really different faiths and cultures over a wonderful meal. And the Turkish Cultural Center is in Cary. Just go down from here, you'd go down Hillsborough Street, turn left on the Southeast Maynard Road, and it's the third little shopping center on the right. It's red brick, and I highly recommend it. Thank you.
You are never going home. So a couple of really quick announcements. Haymont referred to the two small retreats that we have coming up. Next Saturday is Alamra Meditation Retreat. This takes place from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it's guided meditations. Each one is a short session, and it's a really great way to get a little deeper into some of the topics that we study in Buddhism. And the second is in 3 weeks we'll have a weekend mini-retreat in Tara practice. Tara and the 21 Taras are here, and we will bring them out into the middle of the Gampa in a really beautiful raised altar, and it'll be an opportunity to do some deeper practice with Tara. Geshe Gelug is going to be there, and he's going to instruct us in how to do the retreat. And this will be like 3 sessions each day, including Sunday morning. So in place of teachings, we'll have that this on the Sunday morning. We'll still have family program. We'll still have the meditation circle in the morning. And you're welcome to come and be part of any one of those sessions. Of course, the most beneficial is if you come to the whole retreat. But if you're not able to, you know, do come for some of the practice and get a taste of doing Tara practice. And that's the last thing, except that we have 2 wonderful merit opportunities after the teachings. We need someone to take down the water offering bowls and someone to wash the Sangha's cups. Thank you. Have a great day.